time we have together this morning. Thank you for those that were able to gather in the house of the Lord. And Father, we thank you for those who are listening online. Father God, we ask you to bless each one of us. Strengthen us, Lord God. Let your word teach us this morning. Holy Spirit, meet our need this morning. Holy Spirit, release your wisdom and revelation to every person that is hearing this message. I thank you, Lord, that your word is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword and it's able to divide between the soul and the spirit. Father God, we thank you that this morning, oh God, you're cutting away that which we do not need for our life's journey. And Father, we thank you that you are pouring into us, Lord, pouring into us your hope, your revelation, your truth, Lord God, that we will walk in liberty and peace in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's good to see all of your smiling faces this morning. Hallelujah. Well, let's get into the Word. Our lesson this morning is on It's Your Choice. Choices, choices, choices. It's your choice. Choice is an act of selecting or making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities. Something each of us have in common this morning is that regardless of our age, regardless of the stage of life that we are in every single day, we make choices. Lots of them. What to eat, what to wear, what to say, what to do, how to act, who to text, who to forward a message to. Choices. You made several of them probably before you arrived this morning, right? As soon as we wake up in the morning, we have a choice to make. You're going to get out of bed? Are you going to hit the snooze for a little while? The choices we make today are the ones we're going to live with tomorrow. So life is full of choices. And let's go to our first scripture. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And here at the River of Life, we like everyone to read the scriptures together. So Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 16, let's read it together. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Let's read the verse 19 from the same chapter. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. God's a God of life. If you've wondered, God would be pro-life. Choose life is what the scripture tells us. We can choose the blessing or we can choose a curse over our life. It's really our choice. No one, God isn't putting anyone in hell. You're putting yourself there. I mean, that's the reality of it. God lays out this wonderful plan of salvation for every one of us, that every day of our life, we can walk in life. We can walk in the blessing of God. Now, sometimes, when even though we're walking in the blessing of God, things get difficult, right? There are some things that are beyond our control, but one thing that is not beyond our control is our choice. We can either choose to be thankful for what we have, or we can choose to complain. It is our choice. We decide what fruit we're going to eat from. And if you want to be negative, there's a whole lot of people to be negative with. And, you know, all of us have to be careful that we don't get engaged in that, because in this time and season, there's a whole lot to complain about. there's a whole lot of things that we don't like that is going on. Can anyone say amen? Or am I the only one? I'm not alone in this, right? All right, so God says, choose life. I read a saying that says, most of the time we put one foot on God's side and we put the other foot on the side of human reasoning. And then God widens the space until we either drop down in between or jump on one side or the other. Have you ever felt yourself in that situation? It's like you know what God's word says, but yet your human reasoning is looking at circumstances, situations, like with this COVID-19. We look at that and we could use our human reasoning instead of using what we know God is telling us to do. And we should have a personal relationship with God where we hear his voice and we have a peace about the decisions that we are making every day. And if you don't have that, you can have that. How many people sitting in this room feel like they have that peace and know how to do a decision based on the peace of God? Look at these hands. If you don't have that this morning, then look around at these hands. I'm telling you, we have a house of ministers here at the River of Life, and they can teach you how to find that. They can help you along the way, because that is what the body of Christ does. We help one another grow in Christ, grow in our spiritual walk, because we want everyone to be able to experience the peace of God in the midst of the storm. There's a few storms going on right now. There is rumbling in the heavenlies right now. There is a war going on between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There is an intense battle that is going on. But we can have peace in the midst of the storm when we listen and we pray together and we continue to move forward. I determine I'm not going to stop what I'm doing. If no one came to church when God said it was time to come, Apostle Leonard and I were coming. We have plenty of place here to social distance, if you didn't notice. We have lots of room. And so we thank God for the facility. We didn't know that we were going to need to use it for this. And I was thinking about Apostle Leon is coming the first weekend in October. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise for that? He confirmed we'd been praying about it, do we, don't we? And he has decided it's time to move, and he's actually going out to Washington, D.C. in September to be with Lieutenant Colonel Linda Herbert, and they have just purchased a new building, and he's going out to D.C., and then in October, he's coming here the first weekend. And so he'll be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. And so we're looking forward to have an apostle in the house for our 24th church anniversary. Thank you, Lord. So we've got to keep moving. Amen? Because in the long run, all of our choices are going to shape our lives. And if we will allow the spirit of fear to intimidate us and keep us at home, and we don't move out and go about, then we're missing out if God's telling us to go about, right? We have to listen. We've probably not lived in a time in America where it's been so intense to know, should I go or shouldn't I? Should I engage in this activity or shouldn't I? We've lived pretty free lives. We've just got up and gone. And I'm thankful we don't have a lot of restrictions on us in the state of Indiana. Churches can gather. Churches should gather in spite of. Hallelujah. The scripture tells me I ought to obey God rather than man, especially when it comes to the things of the Lord. Now, I'm going to obey the laws of the land, but not when it's contrary to God's law. Are you? Have you made that commitment? Have you made that choice in your heart? God has got to be number one, church. If ever there was a season that God is bringing us into that place where we must make a decision to stand for what is truth and what is righteousness, is right now here in the United States of America. It's right now. Now is the time to make your choice. Let's go on. Choose for yourself whom you will serve. Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15. Let's read it together. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many of you have ever said that? Amen. Amen. We always kept plaques around the house to make sure the children got that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes, we're going to church. They knew better than to ask, are we going to church this morning? Of course we're going to church. Are we going to church on Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night? Absolutely. No questions asked. We are going because that was our commitment. That was what the Lord put in our heart to do. And we were committed, not a little, but 100%. You know, if you're not committed all the way, what does the scripture say about a lukewarm person? A lukewarm church, God said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'd rather you be hot or cold. We want to be on fire for the Lord. We've got to make that commitment. I'm not going to let the fire on my altar burn out. I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God and I'm going to seek his will and I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And when I need help, I'm going to call someone in the body of Christ to pray for me, to encourage me that I can keep going. This is how it works. We all have trouble. We all get depressed. We all have these days where we are just not feeling up to normal. Is that true? You know, there is no superhuman sitting here. We all struggle with these things. But we have a God that is our ever-present help in time of trouble. And so we have to choose to lean on him, to lean on the Lord, to do what we know to do to help ourselves. And the scripture tells us clearly, we're to call one another. We're to connect to one another. And I think that is one thing that I have missed more than anything, is the connecting with one another. It is so important that we connect. I can't explain it enough. I had a memory pop up this morning in my photos. It's a little slideshow of us connecting here at River of Life. And it was actually our mother's celebration last May. I posted it on the church Facebook page. Were you able to load that? Okay. This should lift your spirits. When I saw this, I thought, oh, Lord, it seems like eons since we did this. Go ahead and play it. Let's just look at the pictures because that's really not very good to listen to. This is our foyer. Oh, there's Nancy and Lydia. They haven't been able to come back. Looky there, Pastor Cheryl. Laura, she's moved. Aha! See, Josh, you're in the house today. Patty, I see Jen over there. Trish? Does this just like seem like years ago since we were able to do this? Is that how it feels? I mean, I saw this and I thought, this is so refreshing. It was such a wonderful day of fellowship and celebrating our moms who brought us into this world. And Pastor Vanessa prepared the food. Oh, and there's Octavia. They haven't been able to get back yet. She's had a baby since then. Her little girl's adorable, Sean and Janice. Yes. Great pictures. Look at this. That's our daughter, Teresa, and her husband, David. Pastor Cheryl. And Otis. Otis came and played background music for us. Is that the end? Does that like make you want to get together? Oh, looky there. There's Joyce and her mom. How wonderful. Oh, Sean and her family. I guess there was more pictures than I remember. See Connor right there? Is that Maya by him? And Cindy, Elder Sylvia. Well, looky there, Nicole. And Becky, there you are. Wow. Lots of pictures. Our daughter Teresa had written me a Mother's Day song, and they came and sang it. And Carol and Aaron. That's right. This is how it ended with Pastor Cheryl, our beautiful Pastor Cheryl. Let's give the Lord a praise. So I can't wait until we can do that again. So we are going to continue to pray and believe and decree that COVID-19 is going away. Are you confident of that? I heard someone making fun of ministers and people who pray and decree that COVID is going away because they say it's not going anywhere. It's getting worse. But we don't go by how things look, and we especially don't go by what the news media is saying, because the news media is the prophets of Baal. They are prophesying gloom and doom. And that's not what the word of the Lord says. So we have to choose. You know, I heard one report yesterday that in 45 regions, cases were down like 85% since in July. They have been decreasing over 6%. Deaths are at an all-time low with the COVID-19. But then you turn on mainstream news and they, you know, they're magnifying this fear. And a prophet named Jeremiah Johnson, he prophesied that there would be three waves, three attacks that come against America. And the first one was going to be a spirit of fear. And we saw that spirit of fear. We've seen that spirit of fear with COVID-19, just fear coming upon people. The next one, he said, would be a spirit of hate. We've seen hate out in the streets. We've seen people rising up against people. And actually, it seems like the news media is baiting that so people will hate each other. And then the third one is greed. And he said it will hit about September, October, we're going to see the greed that is manifested. We have to recognize what greed is. Greed in America would be the redistribution of wealth, taking away the wealth and removing it into a socialistic nation. It's greed. I'm going to take what you have and give it to me. That's entitlement. God's program is that we work and help one another. You know, if the church continued and actually did what it was assigned to do and was still in charge of all the benevolence programs and taking care of people, this world would look very different today. But we turned our duties over to the government and allowed the government to begin to do that. So that we wouldn't be bothered with that, the church as a whole began to pay the government to do that. And they have not done a very good job to take care of people. That's just the bottom line. But taking all the wealth and redistributing it, we know that unless people have good worth ethics and they know how to use money, you can give someone $1,000 this week and it is gone in 2 days. And then they need money to pay their bills. We have been in those situations where we've helped people out, helped them with their money, helped them with their finances, and come the end of the month, they have no money because they couldn't keep their hands out of the money. You see, money's our God. Jesus says it very clearly. You can't serve two masters. We can't serve two masters. Either we're going to serve God or we're going to serve money. And so we're going to see this greed spirit come and rise up in intensity. So let's go on here. Point number one was Joshua said, fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. Fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. The next thing he said, he challenged them to make a choice. Everyone has to choose whom they will serve. Either we're going to serve the Lord or we're going to serve Satan. I don't see anything in between. Do you, Janice? Have you seen anything in between? You can't sit on the fence. Right. We can't sit on the fence. We've got to decide. And if ever there was a day that we needed to decide, it is now. We talked last week about the signs of the times. The signs of the times. When will the end come? The disciples asked Jesus. And he said there'd be wars and rumors of wars, and there'd be earthquakes and pestilences and famines. Well, we know we've seen all of those things since the beginning of time. But the key there was he said there would be birthing pains. Okay, so there's been birthing pains going on in the earth for the return of Jesus Christ. But the intensity of the birth pains have increased, and they're closer together. We have all of these road signs. Road signs. They're like road signs. Jesus said, these will be the signs. Do we see them? They're increasing, which means it's labor intensive right now. And the earth is groaning for the sons of God to be manifested. And so we are in, I believe, if we're not in end times, we are definitely at that tipping point. And we've got to become confident in God and take a stand, because Bishop said what we're seeing going on right now in the earth realm is child's play considering what is coming. And not to give us fear, but to give us strength, knowing God brings nothing upon the earth without telling his prophets. That's what he promised us. And we can either believe his prophets and prosper, or we can make another choice. And so we recognize that even though we are doing everything we can to pray and to stand on God's word, there are intense times coming. And right now in the spirit realm, it has kind of felt like we've had a little reprieve. It's just been, you can kind of take a breath right now. But what the prophets are saying, it is coming. And it's going to get intense. And we know it's always intense at election time. Is that right? Because the political spirits rise up. We'll see the spirit of Jezebel and Ahab rise up. The spirit of Pharaoh. And we probably should do side studies on all of these spirits that rule. They are the principalities and powers that take authority over our nation. And they come down like a heavy weight and oppression upon the people. And they cause fear and anxiety and stress to the point they want to press you down to defeat you. And we've shared before, it's tactics, terrorist tactics that Satan uses against people. He terrorizes. But God is greater. God is greater. In 1 Kings, the scripture says, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if it's Baal, then follow him.'" You see, Elijah said, "Hey, there's two choices. We can follow God or we can follow Baal. We can be involved with Baal. Baal worship is hideous. Evil. Or we can choose life." Those are our choices. And we are seeing that spirit of Baal rise up over this nation and everything that's connected to it. And I'm not going to talk a lot about it because we have children that are in our service. We have children listening elsewhere. And so we're not going to go into that. But we want to choose God. Amen? Are you sure that you're going to serve God through these tough times? We don't want tough times to come. And we don't know what they really look like. But when more than one prophet begins to prophesy that things are going to be intense come September, October, then we need to spiritually, emotionally, mentally prepare ourselves that God is going to give us everything we need to press through this and actually be victorious in the midst of everything that's coming against our nation. The church is more than conquerors. The church is the ecclesia. And if God has done anything, during this time of COVID and quarantine, he has connected the church around the world to pray. And you see, there's an end time harvest. The scripture talks about the end time harvest. And we've got to commit ourselves that we are going to be laborers in this end time harvest. We're not going to give up because of the way things look. And we see that revival is sweeping across our nation. In the areas where there's been protests and there's been violence and there's been murders, there are people that are going in with praise and worship, and ministers are ministering. I just read a testimony from Sean Fauch on the, he was on Fox News. He's been on several news broadcasts, but he was saying that they led a Satanist to the Lord. Yes. Yes, and we've been praying. We pray on Zoom every night at 8 o'clock. And we've been praying that God would pull out those that are ripe for harvest and that they would be saved and they would be removed from the crowds that are coming against Americans. And God is doing that. He is so faithful. He is so faithful. Let's go on to the next slide. Here we are. You can't serve two masters. We just talked about that. You can't serve two. Let's read those verses. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now the Message Bible, let's read what it says. "You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. I want to just share a scripture from 2 Corinthians. And this is the Apostle Paul. And he was talking to the church. Because, you know, we can get so wrapped up in materialism. So wrapped up in what we own and what we want. It's that self-love that we see. Love of money, self-love. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the church and he says, I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. In other words, Paul's concern, he had a fear that the minds of the people would be corrupted. Our minds can be corrupted. And much easier than what we think. Depending upon what you allow to come into your eye gate and what you allow to come into your ears and what you're thinking about, your mind can be corrupted. You can be persuaded by the spirit of the world and become a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. This is a warning, church. It's this morning I wasn't planning on preaching a warning message, but here we are. God is concerned about what is going on in our heads. And we do need to gather information. If you are at a place that you are scripturally sound and walking with God, you can easily bump away the stuff that is trying to mind program. There are subliminal messages. I have taught this for years. There is mind programming going on continually. There is. When you deal with the mind and you work with the soul of man, you realize how entwined these messages that flash across the screen. Are you here in songs? They are powerful to bait you, to lead you to something else. And it used to be a little more behind the curtain, but it's not anymore. Satan is right out there. They raffled off an abortion because it's an honor to sacrifice a child at the altar of Baal, is why they raffled it off. And this is on the news. Like, this is acceptable and this is okay. Do you see how far we have gone? And there are messages that will bait you. And you've got to be careful on Facebook. One of my friends reposted something from someone that said, racist people act like they are nice to black people. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this message supposed to mean? And instantly the Holy Spirit reminded me, it's like an occult message. In the occult, they will give you two choices. Often in rituals and when you're in training, two choices. And neither choice is a good choice. Both choice that you have to make is wrong. And it's like, okay, so now if you're nice, then you're a racist. And if you're not nice, you're a racist. So no matter what you do, you're being labeled as a racist. And this is the message that is going out. It's probably been multiplied many times. And there was a little bit more to it. It was like being kind equals racist. Everything that you would use as a compassion, and this person's a Christian. I'm like, Jesus, help me. Shikamananananabasata. You know, you just want to grab some people by the back of the neck and say, what are you thinking? But one thing I have learned is it's usually a no-win situation when you jump in the middle of that fight. You know, and then you can use up all your time and energy in that fight. And I'm like, Lord, sick someone on that person, would you? Because this just isn't right. And honestly, it's like when you read stuff like that, coming from my background, that person needs deliverance. There is something going on. Let's go to the next slide. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Won't be the first time. Okay, Matthew. Yes, don't worry. You know, God is very clear. Worrying is doubt, right? Okay, let's read this. Let's read this passage together. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Somebody say amen. Amen. So let's not let our mind get preoccupied and worrying about stupid stuff, right? God already knows what we have need of. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Worry is actually rooted in doubt. And if we do not have it, Scripture says if you have faith and do not doubt, you can speak to the mountain and it will be removed. So worry is from doubt. So if you're worrying, repent of doubting. I did lots of research on doubt. It's an interesting phenomenon. And the best illustration I read from the 1500s of how doubt affects our life is this. The illustration said, it is like putting a stone in your shoe. And every step you take, it affects your thinking, it affects your focus, it even affects how you're walking because you have the stone in your shoe. How many's ever had a stone in your shoe? You can't think about nothing else till you get that stone out of your shoe. Is that right? I mean, you'll stop wherever you are to get that thing out of there. Well, see, that's what doubt does to us. We can't think straight. We can't walk straight. We can't make a decision. It's a trap. And so if you're worrying a lot about something, and you know, we all have worry. I'm not talking about, okay, I am concerned about such and such. But we know when we tip over into worry. Do you know that when you tip over? You know, you have concerns. We're human. We have concerns. Okay, but when we begin to worry and doubt, and it keeps playing over and over in our minds, okay, and then we come up with another scenario how we're going to take care of it, okay, and then we come up with another one, and it just keeps going. Our minds just keep going. Have you ever experienced that? Your mind will just run away. I say it's like a wild child. if you don't tame it, if you don't train it, it will just take off and do its own thing. And boop, autopilot, there you go. And we have to recognize that. I had to train my mind. Hey, I could do what I'm talking about for hours. Hours. Such a waste of time. But I had to come to that realization, and I had to begin to train my mind to stay focused on what it needed to focus on. I think I shared last week, we only have so much mental energy in one day. And we want to give it our best, that day our best, right? Because it's the only day we have. We're not promised any more than today. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. So let's get back to our challenging questions. There's two of them. Are you going to choose the gods of materialism? Are you going to choose to serve yourself? And those are things that we need to think about. What am I spending most of my time and energy on? Is it all about me? And of course, we're supposed to take care of ourselves. That doesn't make you super spiritual when you don't take care of yourself. We take care of ourselves. And it's okay to have material items. But once again, there's a tipping point where we cross a line to where that is what's driving us. Choose God every day. Let's read Isaiah 41:10. This is one of my favorite passages. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I had a surgery several years ago, and I had come out of anesthetic, and I was in a lot of pain, and they sent a chaplain in to pray for me. And when he come in the door, he said, I'd like to pray for you. And I said, thank you. Let me share with you the scripture the Lord gave me. And honestly, this scripture, when I was under anesthetic, it just kept going through my mind. It was just there. It was in my spirit. When I woke up, it was in my spirit. And it was this scripture. And I quoted it to them. And then I waited for him to pray for me. And he said, well, I think I'm going to just go on down the hall and pray for someone else. I didn't mean to scare him out of my room. But you know, I had grabbed a hold of the Word of God. Because I wanted that in my spirit, because you don't know if you're going to wake up from anesthetic. You know, it's kind of it's a dead place to be. And so I'm like, I want the Word of God in me. And I was so thankful when I woke up right there. What was on my mind was still going, playing. God's Word. He's with us. He's always with us. We don't have to worry. We don't have to doubt. Don't be dismayed. Because God is with us wherever we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You know, we're going to say a prayer this morning and close out this part of the service because we have offering. And then we want to take some time this morning to pray for America. To pray for the church. Are you with me on that? It is time that as we gather, my house will be called a house of prayer. And so, Father, we thank you for the teaching of the Word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are our hope. You are our strength, Lord God, and that you uphold each one of us with your righteous right hand. I thank you, Lord God, that as we journey in this life together, Lord, that we encourage each one to make the choices, good choices, godly choices, Lord, that will help ourselves, our families, and help those around us, Lord. Help us, Lord God, in everything that we do, when we're on the job, when we're in the grocery store. God, I pray for connections, Lord, for divine connections to pray with people. We just break timidity and fear off of the saints of God this morning. Lord God, that COVID will not restrict us and will not hold us back, but Lord God, will press through the barriers that have been erected by the enemy to keep us from reaching out. And so, Lord, let your gospel spread. Let your hope and your love grow in us. Father, I thank you for strengthening. And let's just put our hand on our hearts. Father, I thank you for strengthening every saint that is in here today. Every person that loves you, Jesus, I thank you that you are strengthening them. Lord, that you are strengthening us, Lord God, for what is to come. And I thank you, Lord, that you show us the obstacles that we need to remove from our lives, Lord God, that we will draw closer to you. Lord, when obstacles go, the Lord was showing me this morning, when obstacles are removed, we receive more of his love. He's got to take some things out of us so he can pour into us. Lord, whatever we're keeping in us that's filling us up that's not of you, we ask you to take it out this morning. Remove it from us, God. We're in a desperate place, Lord. Each one of us as individuals, we are in a desperate place this morning. We cannot make it without you, Lord. We know that troubling times, perilous times are upon this earth. And Lord, we see the signs. We see your road signs. And we hear your prophets, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord, to strengthen us, Lord. Give us the strength to be committed to you and to stand. Lord, you said in your word that when we have done all, we are to stand. And so, Lord, let the church stand as a wall against the gates of hell and the spiritual darkness that has been released over this nation. Father God, I thank you that we are advancing as Christians and pushing back the darkness. Lord, we decree, we declare, we will not be overcome by evil, but we will overcome evil with good. And give the Lord a praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone here this morning that has not received the Lord as your Savior, we encourage you to meet with us after church so that we can pray with you. And God bless you. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is here, and he is raising up mighty warriors in this time. Mighty warriors. Tell your neighbor, you're a mighty warrior.